It occurred to me in the year 1995 and 96 that what God was doing, of course, was much bigger than restoring apostles. He was actually restoring the apostolic nature of the church. And therefore, to understand what we are moving into as against what we're moving away from, you have to come to grips with this idea of what is the apostolic nature of the church, which you've already dealt with in early lectures. It is meant to be a relational people rather than an institutionalized people. Our doctrine remains the same, our love of Christ, you know, our worship, passionate, but the way we're led, the way we structure relationships, the way we walk together, this is being brought to maturity, to relational maturity. So rather than being held together by the strong bonds of institutionalism, we're going to be held together all the more by the strong bonds of love in personal relationships, and in particular with personal relationships with leaders. Well, I came to that realization in 95, 96, but it was to lead to many other insights, which I'm going to name tonight. I had heard the Lord say in about 1998, I'm about to set aside the existing leadership of the church and raise another leadership. But this was a reference to a shift in structure, away from simply the pastoral teaching administrators type leadership of the church to the real government of apostles. The government of God is properly expressed through apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, all in heart relationships of love for one another, walking together, and together they express the life of God and are the government of God, but primarily apostles represent the government of Christ for the church. All this, the church is being brought back to a place of understanding so as to walk in, but it's a process that takes time. I might have mentioned this before, but when this was first coming to me in the late 80s and the early 90s, I was still, you know, of the formative beliefs that many of us have grown up with. It was the only thing we ever heard taught, was that the world was coming to an end. You know, history had run its course, Christ would be returning soon. There was all kinds of talk about the beast and the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation and, you know, all those fearsome things. And so there, it was simply an underlying assumption, a background assumption that we didn't have long. You know, would our generation be the last one? Would it be our kids? Did we have 20 years? Did we have 50 years? Would it be 100 at the most? But either way, we were thinking short term. Just, it was an assumption that we were at the end of history rather than at the beginning of it. But over the years of working with the scriptures and getting more and more information from the Lord about what these things mean and how they're meant to play out, it became more and more obvious that in fact what the plans the Lord has for the world are huge. And we're not at the end of history at all, but barely at the beginning. And so there is much to come. I don't have time to explain all that right now, but there's almost 30 hours of teaching on that on our website and in our app. But just to say, the information discovered relative to the apostolic reformation of the church necessitates, there's a whole lot more work going to go on in this world yet, in both the church, in evangelism, in the nations, and so on and so forth. And he is priming the church, adjusting the church for this powerful and bright future. So the restoration of the apostolic nature of the church means the Holy Spirit is at work right now across the world, teaching relationships, shifting the hearts, causing people to understand how to walk with each other, how to walk with their leaders. But this is a longish process, because the church must be brought into love and into relationships of the heart. Our hearts towards each other must be changed if we are to then walk in the greater graces that He has in mind. So while we remain kicking and screaming back in our old notions of, you know, of control and tradition and suspicion and you know, our old ways of doing business in the church, we have not embraced then the kind of spiritual maturity required to advance in the real anointings of Christ. But still, he's getting us there. And bit by bit, all over the world, a grassroots change is going on. But still, you need to give your attention a whole lot more to understanding the true apostolic nature of the church. It is a relational life, but we've already commented on that somewhat in other lectures. And the books that I went on to write subsequent to this one, The Spirit of Sonship and the book called Holy Community, these books are integral to an understanding of the apostolic nature of the church as worked out in relationships. Anyway, church reformation is underway. The reformation most people are familiar with is the one that occurred 500 years ago, beginning with Martin Luther and many other reformers came along too. It was a very cataclysmic change of the church, huge ructions. I mean, armies marched and political boundaries were changed. So don't anyone argue that God can't do this. If the Lord wants to change the times and seasons, well, he doesn't change them. He has a plan and a purpose. It's his enemies who try to manipulate times and seasons. But the fact is, in the plans and purposes of God, there are times when he brings about huge changes. It's his right to do so. He is the potter. We are the clay. 500 years ago, there was a huge reformation. There's another one going on right now. But this reformation is not violent like the last one, because the whole purpose of this reformation is to bring us into relationships of love. This is a healing reformation. It will be healing divisions across denominations. It will be seeing lives restored to one another. You'll see the church coming into agreement and greater experiences of love and of trust and of honor and of acceptance of one another. All beautiful stuff, actually. But the thing I wanted to emphasize was it takes time. You see, 20 years ago when I first started teaching this, I was still assuming that because we didn't have many years, this would be a quick work to get the bride of Christ ready for the coming of Christ. But as we worked with the scriptures and with the truth, we came to realize, no, this is a process completely transforming the church and ultimately transforming the nations. And so we began to see that the structures laid out in this book, that is the concepts which I'm about to explain, relative to this apostolic reformation, are things that are going to unfold more and more over maybe a 100-year period. It was over 100 years ago that the event occurred referred to as Azusa Street, the great, you know, Pentecostal revival, the outbreak of the Pentecostal movement. It's taken fully 100 years for that to span the globe and to produce all the fruit that has come from it. That's an example of how something can start small, but bit by bit spread throughout the world and completely transform the thinking of the church, the worship of the church. This is just typical of a revival or a reformation movement. And again with this, the truths that are now being brought forth are being built on that. This is really an extension of the original power of Pentecost. Originally, the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, it was to knit the hearts of people together as one, and that's exactly what did happen. And this is what is happening again. This is a more mature, a more advanced Pentecost. But it will be over 100 years, that is over several generations, that we see the full outworking to maturity of the truths that we are teaching now. So effectively, this book is a blueprint for what we can expect to see in your lifetime and the lifetime of your children. And the interesting thing is, when I wrote this book, there wasn't really any visible evidence of these things happening in the world. But here we are now, 14 years later, and we see everywhere the visible appearance of exactly these patterns and structures beginning to spring up all over the world. Not all of them are springing up in purity. You can get mixed motives with people trying to control things for their own gain, and so on and so forth. But this will all get sorted out in the wash. It is a move of the Holy Spirit, and it is transforming the church.